walk through the garden.
When you walk through the garden,
you gotta watch your back.
Welcome to the On the Wire podcast. My guest today is my friend Mike Mimoso from Threat Post. We're going to talk about the Shadow Brokers drama and everything that's going on with them. Maybe some one login data breach stuff and whatever else happens to come up. But Mike, I know you've been following the Shadow Broker stuff pretty closely, and so have I. I haven't written all that much about it just because it's every little incremental thing from them, it feels like one of those things where, like, you know, they're begging for attention, which, you know, who knows who these guys are, but that definitely feels like part of their strategy. But there was a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. One was this subscription service that they announced, I guess, early this week.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you can it's like a some sort of absurd like monthly thing where you pay them 100 Zcash, which is like $20,000, $21,000, $22,000 or something. I don't know how that stuff has any value. I have no idea. But and then you get access to some feed that they're going to, I mean, they could send, who knows, it could be like 10-year-old exploits. You have no idea what you're getting in this thing. And they said that up front. They were like, you know, in the FAQ, they were like, what's going to be in this dump? And they were like, nobody is knowing. You know, Shadow Brokers are not deciding yet. You know, it's like their grammar is my favorite part of the whole story.
I love the intentionally broken English. That's what I call it. It's like nobody writes like that.
No.
Even people that don't know English.
Absolutely not. And, you know, I'm not going to go down the attribution road here, but
no.
Having received thousands of emails from Russians over the years, I'll just tell you that is not how they write emails.
No.
Or write English. Most of the Russians I know speak better English than I do. And, you know, but the way that they write it is very specific, and that is not it.
Yeah. Their grammar is not perfect, but it's not that.
No, it's not that at all.
That's for sure.
Like you said, it's intentionally broken English. Yeah. It's like somebody put it through like a backwards translator and was like, make this into terrible English. And that's right. What you got. But the idea of this subscription service is funny to me because who's going to pay for that outside of maybe some defense contractors who just, you know, have money falling out of their pockets and are like, we have to pay for this just to know what's in it.
Right. And they can do it quietly too. I mean, nobody wants to be very overt about this. I don't know if you saw the, that crowdfunding thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That popped up. I wrote something about it today. That they basically shut it down because a lot of people told them, you know, this is kind of a wicked bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Don't do this.
It's a terrible. I was hoping it would succeed though. I really wanted it to, just for entertainment value.
I mean, because you don't know who you're funding here. You could be funding foreign intelligence. You could be funding terrorists or drug dealers. You have no idea who these guys are.
Yep. That's the whole thing. Like you could, right. You're sending this, you know, fake ass money off into the internet's like underbelly. And, you know, it could just be like, who knows who it is? I mean, obviously these guys have some, they have the goods, like, or at least, you know, they might've already exposed all of it. Who knows? I doubt it. That seems unlikely. But what they have published is obviously legitimate. I mean, we've seen some pretty severe fallout from it.
Yeah.
So I think we have to take them, you know, at least like the technical part of it at their word. I mean, I don't know how they got access to it. It looks like somebody hacked a staging server a few years ago or several staging servers. But the idea of sending them money for this subscription service is just insane to me. Like, I can't imagine it's going to work on any level.
No. And you know what's funny, though, is like I don't think anybody took these guys completely seriously until this last batch of Windows attacks that was leaked that included this SMB thing that spawned WannaCry. I mean, all the exploits, like you said, were old before. Even the, you know, there were a couple of 0 days, but it was all for like end of life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if they were really reckoned with until this last dump, but you know, I think from now on, I think people are going to take them seriously, but that doesn't mean people are going to start dishing out real or fake money to buy any of this stuff.
No, you know, I can kind of see, like I said, some defense contractors, maybe a government agency here or there allocating some capital in that direction, you know, under the guise of like, who knows, you know, new carpet for the break room or something, you know, something along those lines, just because they need to see what's in it. But obviously, NSA knows what's in it because they warned Microsoft about that SMB bug a few months ago. And that's a really interesting part of this to me, because it's a very clear tacit admission that, yep, this is our stuff, and we know what's in at least part of this cache that they have. So, you know, we should probably warn Microsoft about this really, really bad one, which they did, but people still didn't patch it, obviously. And
yeah, I mean, that Washington Post story was really fascinating. You know, if they're to be believed about the insiders that were really scared of this particular SMB exploit, if it ever got out, what would happen? Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously we saw WannaCry, which was, you know, fairly benign compared to what they could have loaded up as far as a payload onto this thing.
Right. I mean, they were, I forget what the WannaCry ransom was. I mean, it was,
it's like $300 or something. It wasn't much. Yeah.
And it kind of ratcheted up over time, but not to any kind of insane level where it could have gone. And it, I mean, that thing, obviously the kill switch domain things, saved a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, the attackers themselves could have made it much, much worse. And you know, I wonder, I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about this. Like, I wonder why they didn't, you know, like, this doesn't seem like a typical nation state attack, but it has some of those elements, and it doesn't seem like a typical cybercrime gang attack, but it has some of those elements too. So you wonder if it's just like, you know, some group like throwing a bunch of stuff out there to like muddy the waters a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that whole connection to North Korea is I don't know. I mean, depending on who you talk to, they'll convince you that it really is them or it isn't. I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, they expected it to work if it was North Korea. And, you know, they ended up with, what, $80,000? And good luck trying to collect any of that, too. I mean, even though it's no Bitcoin, chance. It's there's some way to trace that, as opposed to apparently Zcash, I guess. I don't know.
There's so many of these things. It's like bargain money.
Yeah, it's like my kid buying virtual currency on some game he's playing. It's right. Like, it's, you know, just throwing really good money after phony gold coins on the screen.
It's only good in Temple Run, but it's super valuable. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get all the exploits in Temple Run, so you can get the, you know, you can beat the gorilla or whatever.
Right.
I'm interested to see where this goes from here, because I think that this subscription thing is probably going to fail, you know, quickly and loudly. And then what else are they going to do? I mean, they've already tried the auction thing. They've tried this now. Like, are they going to, I don't know. I mean, I imagine there's some way for them to sell this stuff to individual buyers on the black market, but maybe whoever this group is doesn't have those kind of connections. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw some speculation on Twitter this morning, too, that this is just basically a campaign to get into the mainstream media.
Oh, that was Matt Green, right?
Or Matt Green, as it was Matt Green. That's right.
I thought that was pretty clever. Yeah.
It was pretty clever. And, you know, that kind of makes sense. I mean, if it is Russian intelligence or some other APT out there, they certainly don't need the money. More than resource. This is about getting attention. This is about, you know, having CNN, you know, start shooting off red flags about this thing and getting everybody scared the way they did with WannaCry and everything else that's been out there lately.
Yeah, this is one of those stories where, you know, your neighbors or your family members start asking you about it and you're like, God, oh no. Like the Google Docs phishing thing from a few weeks ago.
Right.
Where, you know, everybody was like, oh, Google got hacked. And you're just like, oh, no. That's not what happened.
No.
Just stop clicking on stupid shit in your email and you'll be fine. You know, which is generally how it works. But
I know when ransomware becomes part of the daily conversation with with people, it's a little weird.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, like friends of mine that are like firefighters or, you know, have non-tech jobs that are asking me about this kind of thing. and you've got to explain to, you know, not dumb people, but they're just not in that world. And you explain to them like all the intricacies of this, and they're like, well, what do you do if this happens? You're like, well, depends on how motivated you are to get those files back. But in general, you just you probably got to pay. Like, you know, if you have good backups, then you're probably okay. But a lot of people don't, especially consumers. So, you know, you probably get to cough up $100 or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, which is, and that's the thing that like struck me about WannaCry is like, this could have been the Code Red or Slammer of ransomware and really, really caused a tremendous amount of damage.
Yeah.
It could have been the one that like, you know, like Dick Clark has been warning about for 20 years or whatever, you know, the cyber Pearl Harbor. He was probably foaming at the mouth thinking about it.
It still may be coming because apparently we still suck at patching.
Oh, obviously. Yeah.
You know, there were still how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of machines that this thing infected. And if they, that kid in England hadn't found the kill switch, who knows? I guess he basically saved the U.S., basically, given the time of day that it happened, when he bought the domain and, and shut it down. So, you know, this exploit is the bad thing. It's not WannaCry. WannaCry is apparently, you know, not very well written, not very super smart malware that's out there. It's the exploit. And then if you can drop easily some other kind of payload in there, that's the problem.
And that seems, it seems like if somebody else wanted to do that, there aren't that many obstacles in the way. They could get that done whenever they wanted to, you know, like,
I guess the leaks are, you know, include all the documentation and it's really, you know, point click after a while. So that's the scary part of this.
It seems like we're at this point kind of dependent on like the laziness of attackers. Like, you know, they're just like, I don't know. I don't really feel like doing anything today. I'm just going to kind of, you know, go to the club, going to rent a jet ski and like cruise around and, you know, in the Rio Harbor or whatever.
$80,000 would pay for a few parties like that.
So. It definitely could. Yeah. Some of those like old school, like early 2000s cybercrime parties where they have like, you know, the lowered like Nissan 240 SXs like in the background and they're all like sitting on the hoods, like, you know, spreading cash around. But yeah, like the amount of information that's out there from, you know, the Equation Group / Shadow Broker stuff, is, I wrote about this yesterday, is kind of terrifying because, you know, most random attackers don't have access to these kind of attack tools. You know, they have to buy them or know somebody who knows somebody or something like that in general. But now if they have some money or, you know, have another way to get to it, they've got like literally the tools developed by the apex predators of the internet, like the guys that everyone is scared of. And, you know, that has not happened before. That kind of stuff just doesn't get out into the open.
Right. I mean, these attacks would normally cost, you know, seven figures on the underground normally. And, you know, you've lowered that bar down to, you know, anybody, some, you know, anybody you can read.
As far which thankfully some of the attacker community doesn't appear to be able to read. Otherwise I think we'd all be hosed. But I wonder what the, like, the meetings and the strategy are like in Washington right now in the intelligence community around this stuff, because they've obviously knew before the stuff ever came out that it had been stolen. I'm sure of that. And I'm sure that they also have a very good idea who it is and how it got out. But I wonder if there's, I would assume that there's more of these SMB level bugs that they've warned, you know, whether it's Microsoft or Google or Oracle or, you know, whoever it is, that are contained in that stolen material that are probably going to be leaked soon.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're rethinking their whole, process on buying and you know, keeping vulnerabilities to themselves, and or whether there's just that much arrogance that they don't care. I mean, I think they use this stuff obviously, and you know, they would disclose it if they got hosed this way, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's nice to think that they're rethinking it, but
yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, I do too. Because it's just, I mean, that's how they do their jobs, you know? Like they
right.
NSA employs a whole bunch of vulnerability researchers that spend their time, you know, trying to break Chrome or Internet Explorer or, you know, Outlook or whatever it happens to be. And when they get something, you know, that SMB bug looks like it was, you know, a couple years old at least, right? And,
yeah.
You know, went all the way back to XP. So they were probably using it against God knows how many targets in the intervening years since they found it. And the value of that to an intelligence agency is just like, I mean, they can't really even calculate it, you mm-hmm. know, like they're paying these analysts like 85 grand a year to find this stuff or something like that. And then they're using it to, you know, hopefully target terrorists or folks like that. Not just the telecom system in the US or something.
Yeah, maybe the real conversation they're having is why isn't our stuff better secured and why is it so easy to use if it gets out the gate?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, Schneier's written a bunch about this.
Like, yeah.
Why are they so bad at holding on to this stuff? Like, the intelligence community, part of their, you know, especially the NSA, part of their whole thing is OPSEC. Like, shut your mouth. Don't tell anybody what you do, you know, whatever you do here and say here and hear here stays here and all that kind of thing. And yet, you know, I guess part of the problem is that if this stuff was stolen off a staging server, however many years ago, you know, if they've got to use these public servers to stage their tools and, you know, as part of their attacks, as proxies or whatever, if somebody stumbles upon that, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
But if somebody's stealing it off of the NSA network, that's a whole other issue. Which
yeah, maybe their OPSEC isn't bad, and maybe they're just bad against insiders. I mean, look at Snowden, look at the other guy, Hal Martin, who had all that stuff in his garage or wherever, that 20 years worth of data.
Oh, God. Right.
I mean, maybe he's the you know, maybe he's patient zero. Maybe somebody ripped him off. I don't know. But, yeah, there's some kind of shortcoming here, and you know, maybe it's that staging server theory.
Yeah, the theory about the insiders, though, like I don't know if that's true in this case, but I think it's probably demonstrably true that they're bad against insiders. Like over the life of the U.S. intelligence community, there's been, you know, how many of these guys can you point to? Like, not even just about computer security stuff, but you know,
right.
You talk about like Hansen. And guys going back to the 50s and 60s and that kind of stuff, like, you know, there's an implicit level of trust you have to have in people that work in the intelligence community. If they decide to betray that, they could probably get away with whatever they want to do for a certain amount of time and do a lot of damage before they're found out.
Right.
You know, and that...
Yeah, that's the fascinating thing, too, is you figure that they would plan for every contingency and, you know, we kind of laugh at some things that happen in terms of vulnerabilities and attacks. Why didn't somebody think of that beforehand? But you would expect somebody on the level of the NSA to have thought of all these contingencies beforehand, and you know, they're just as vulnerable as anyone else, it appears.
Yeah, you know, you forget that they're a government agency. You know, there's the most of the people there are just kind of career government workers that go right. in and out every day. You know, they drive around the Beltway and they're bored listening to, you know, Redskins talk on the radio or whatever. God help them. And you know, they go, they do their jobs, they go home, and you know, people make mistakes, you know, whether their job is, you know, whether they're an accountant or a salesperson or an NSA analyst, people make mistakes. Right. And that kind of stuff happens, but they have long tails and, you know, a lot of cascading consequences if that's the case there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which kind of is a nice segue into the data breach that popped up today, the one login thing, which they were pretty thin on the details in the corporate blog post they put out. But I think you probably saw the same customer email I saw, which, you know, kind of pointed people to this support article. And they essentially said, you know, anybody that uses our U.S. data center got owned.
Yeah, they got hosed.
Right. Which makes me wonder if a U.S. data center. Those, most people don't own their own data centers. You know, those are usually in co-location facilities. I wonder if this, we're going to hear about something else or several something else's in the next few weeks or months.
Yeah, certainly one login doesn't own its own data center, I wouldn't imagine.
I wouldn't either. If I remember right, weren't they in the same building as...
right as, downstairs.
Right, yeah, up in Woburn. But
yep.
A lot of these companies, yeah, they're in like a server farm or a colo facility
right.
somewhere, and they rent like however many servers in a cage, but sometimes those are shared as well, or they're using cloud stuff. It doesn't sound like that in this case, but... you wonder how that's going to shake out, but this looks pretty bad because they were telling people to like generate new certificates and have users reset passwords. Kind of as bad as it gets for an identity management company like that.
Right. I mean, they're talking about customer data compromise and including the ability to decrypt encrypted data. So
that sounds bad.
Yeah. These guys got a lot.
Yeah, they did. And that also does not sound like one of those like opportunistic attacks where like, you know, somebody stumbled upon this server in a data center and it just happened to be a one login server. That right. sounds like, you know, the setup to something larger. Cause if you go and look at even just the public customers that they have on their website, there's a lot of high value targets there.
Yeah.
You know, and those just
single sign-on stuff is taking a beating, though. I mean, with the Google Docs thing with OAuth.
Yeah.
And now this is really, I mean, it's such good convenience in that kind of service. But, wow, if you get hosed like this, are you opening a lot of doors that should stay closed?
Right. There's no doubt. I mean, password managers are awesome because you have to register for every website these days. You know,
yep.
Even things where you're not buying or doing anything worthwhile, you have to register for everything. So, you know, the password managers are great and they're helpful for generating random passwords and that kind of thing. But when those things get popped, oh man, that's like panic on a level that you don't want to deal with.
Right.
Especially in an enterprise environment. You know, if you're an enterprise customer of one of these guys, like 1Password or LastPass or these guys, eesh.
Yeah, I mean, Tavis has made short work of these guys in the recent past, and not one login, but yeah, it's not been a good 6 months for this kind of service and these companies.
No, and you know the browser based ones are one thing because they're kind of dependent on a lot of the inner workings of whatever browser they're working with. So there's a lot of attack surface there. And I think people just hadn't looked at them very hard until Tavis started to, you know, a few months ago.
Right.
But the cloud-based ones are different. That should theoretically be your own infrastructure, which you should have good control over, you know?
Yeah, and that's always been the challenge with this cloud stuff. And you, like you said, that's an interesting angle, too. Is if somebody got popped the data center, what else is coming out of that particular location? And you know, who else was on that physical box? Because you know that this was a bunch of virtual machines, and if
sure.
somebody got to the box, who knows what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard lots of those stories over the years from, like, pen testers who, you know, are going and doing these kind of things for clients, and they get into one server, and they see who the other customers of that,
yeah,
you know, on that server are, and they're like, you wouldn't believe it. It's, you yeah. know, they're like, you know, this bank or this healthcare company or this whatever, like, it could have been all over for them. And they don't even know.
Like, remember the good old days when all that was theoretical stuff?
I sure do. Yeah. And people are like, no, you can't get out of a virtual machine. It's impossible. Or, you know, cloud's way more secure. Yeah. Those were the days.
Those were the days, right? Those were the days.
There was like entire black hat tracks about that.
Stumbling about in the dark.
Honestly. Yeah. It's so true. Yep. Yeah. So what else is... interesting to you in the last week or two? It's kind of all been like this stuff and like the WannaCry stuff, and
yeah, it seems that's what I've been writing for almost a month now, is WannaCry stuff. Just really occupied so much time. I found it interesting, the stuff that Tavis was finding in the Microsoft malware engine.
Yeah.
Given the fact that you know, that thing is on every machine, and apparently wasn't very well protected, wasn't sandboxed, or, you know, that seemed pretty bad.
That seems like 2002 to me.
It sure does, yeah.
You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, maybe it's another case of nobody's taken a hard look at that thing, but I know that Microsoft has a big team of internal, you know, software security folks and red teamers that look at that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, yeah, things get overlooked, obviously, but that doesn't seem like a minor thing.
No. And, you know, Microsoft's been getting kind of fortunate. I mean, they pushed that emergency patch out very quickly for the first one that he found.
Right.
They got tipped off on this, on the SMB thing. You know, they're kind of a reversal of fortune there, not so coincidentally.
That SMB patch, and I know that they're not going to do this, but if you remember when, I think it might have been the first Shadow Brokers dump, Cisco's engineers went and combed through that thing and found some like critical Cisco switch yep. bug.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote an entire blog post, like a super detailed technical one, and they said, we found this by looking through the Shadow Broker stuff. Why can't Microsoft be like, you know,
right.
we got a tip about this. Like, their credits are so ridiculous. The one I think on that advisory was like their boilerplate, like, we appreciate the contributions of the security community or something.
Right.
Which just means nothing. It's like an anonymous, they're not going to tell you who that is. You know, it's not somebody from Project Zero or something.
Yeah. Intentionally anonymous there. Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm sure that a condition of this was NSA saying you can't say a damn thing about this.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I'd like Microsoft and some of these other vendors to just be like, look, man, we missed this. Somebody pointed it out to us. And this is incredibly important that you guys go patch this. Like, there needs to be some signal to customers that this isn't just a normal bug.
Right.
You know, like, this is a bug that, Intel agencies and like APT groups are exploiting like right now, like the email warnings that, you know, Google throws up for state sponsored attacker victims, that kind of thing. Like, there
and Microsoft still isn't doing a good job on that front in terms of, you know, waving their hands and saying this is really bad.
No, not at all.
It just, you know, that SMB bug was kind of like, it took a lot of other people to say, oh, wait a minute, this is going to be around forever. Like the Conficker vulnerability from 2007 or 8, whatever.
That thing.
It's you know, it's always some third party. It's never Microsoft saying, hey, this is an issue.
Yeah, which seems kind of backwards to me.
They
should really be. It's not like they don't have the resources. And they have this customer network where they can push alerts to their customers and be like, you know, here's a flashing red light, you know, pay some overtimes and go patch this stuff right now.
Right.
Which they've done in the past, but it's incredibly rare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's expensive for them and their customers, but this kind of thing that could turn into, you know, an internet crippling worm, I'd like to see that kind of thing happen.
Yeah. I'd hate to think it's reserved just for a certain tier of support, but you figure you'd have heard something like that already. But
yes. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case.
Right.
You know, the you know, amethyst level customers or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Get that kind of alert. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was this goofy bill that's making its way through. It hasn't even been formally introduced, but I've written about it a couple times, and I think you guys have too, about this active defense bill. Right, yeah.
The hack.
That's the proper reaction.
Yeah.
Which now has all kinds of other components to it where, you know, victims are allowed to go and find their own data and destroy it on someone else's machine. But you have to notify the FBI that you're doing this. Like,
right.
How does any of this work? Like, what... I don't understand the thinking behind this at all.
This is written by somebody who's never sent an email, apparently, or booted up their computer, because I don't know how this I don't know how this gets to the floor of the United States Congress for serious consideration. This is just, you know, we both know people that spend a lot of time on the Hill talking to the staff of this congressperson and, you know, really briefing people. And then, you know, you see something like this and it's like, whoa, you're not listening or you don't care.
No. And I'm sure there's some good intentions behind it. Like, I don't.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't want to believe that people are introducing these bills out of complete, you know, ignorance and like, or anything like that. It's just, that's not how computers or the internet work. Like, no. That's not going to work. The FBI, like, the best people in the world have a hard time, you know, saying 100% this is where this attack came from and here's what they got. You know, they'll tell you within a relative degree of certainty, but they're, you know, they'll say like high level of confidence or moderate, whatever. But for, you know, someone like me or whoever to be like, oh man, somebody got my email, I'm gonna trace this and like go destroy my emails on their computer
and get all my stuff back. Yeah,
right. Because they definitely couldn't have made a backup copy of it somewhere on, you know, on a removable hard drive or on Google Cloud.
Right. There's so many consequences, potential consequences here. It's just, it's not even funny.
I'm hoping that someone else like takes this congressman aside, like at lunch and is like, hey man, let's not introduce that one.
Right.
Let's hold off on that. Like, or attaches some ridiculous rider to it that will kill it immediately. You know, like some way to get this out of Congress without it going anywhere.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know that first drafts of bills are usually like this wish list that eventually gets narrowed down into something much smaller and much more narrower, but it's not a good look. And it just shows, at least on the surface, a lack of understanding of the problem and a lack of understanding of the consequences that can come from something like this. And, you know, it can't be real. It can't happen. It won't happen, I hope. But
no, it's not a good idea. It seems impossible. Like, even though nothing seems impossible these days in Washington, this, I would hope, would be as close to impossible as we can get. The unintended consequences, as you said, would be just, I mean, hilarious if they weren't terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, if I know it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea.
Right, yes. Yes, that's right. People like us are telling you it's a bad idea. Just stop. All right, cool. Well, I think we hit it all.
Yeah.
We will hopefully convene again in Vegas to do the group podcast. I know I talked to Jesse last week, and she's very excited for it, so I'm sure she's saving up a list of topics to get worked up about.
She's great.
Yeah. She's
I can't believe Black Hat's like basically around the corner.
No, kinda especially weird. When like, you know, it's been in the 50s here for the last you know, and raining. It's like October, it's ridiculous. But
yep.
That's New England. That's it. All right, man. Well, I will talk to you soon. Thanks for your time. All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya.
Later.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back.